When Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that he was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. So he left Judea, went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria, so he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" For Jews do not associate with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go, call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you have now is not your husband. And what you have just said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." "Woman," Jesus replied, "believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshippers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is Spirit, and his worshippers must worship in the Spirit and in truth." The woman said, "I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, "I, the one speaking to you, am he." Just then his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked, "What do you want?" or "Why are you talking with her?" Then, leaving her water jar, the woman went back to town and said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah?" They came out of town and made their way toward him. And from verse 39, many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. "He told me everything I ever did." So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, "We no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world." Amen.
Thank you, Gavin. Let us again join our hearts together in prayer. Loving God, as we come now to hear your word preached, We are again so keen to hear what you would want us to hear this morning. Lord Jesus, this morning we will see you at the well, meeting with a woman whose society had rejected. Would you help us to see in this story your heart, Lord, for the broken and the outcast? And would you help us again to understand what true worship really means? Holy Spirit, speak to us through this passage and draw us to worship in spirit and in truth. In the loving name of Jesus we pray. Amen. So as we continue now through our Lent series called Conversations on the Way to the Cross, so far we've had two conversations, one in the wilderness where we saw Jesus speak with the devil, and then last Sunday, the nighttime conversation where we saw Jesus meet with Nicodemus, who, as we saw, was a respected religious leader who went looking for answers in the darkness. And then this morning we are moving from nighttime to noon, to the middle of the day, from a conversation in the darkness to a conversation to the brightest part of the day. And you know, this is the longest recorded conversation that Jesus has with anyone in the Gospels, as Gavin's just found out. It was a long reading. And it's amazing for so many reasons. And you know, for this being International Women's Day, it's such a good passage for us today. I used this this interaction with Jesus at the woman at the well in an essay question at university. The subject was, or the class was, Bible, Literature and Culture. And the essay question that I answered, and I hope I answered it well, was, examine the portrayal and treatment of women in the life of Jesus and discuss the significance of his actions and teaching for the empowerment and equality of women in contemporary society. And I argued that Jesus was radical in many ways, but especially the beautiful way that Jesus handled women in that culture was just so radical. So we start this morning in John chapter 4, verse 1 that Gavin's read for us. It says, now Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that he was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized but his disciples. So he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. So here Jesus is heading north from Judea back to Galilee. And then verse 4 tells us something interesting. It says, now he had to go through Samaria. You know, technically that's not quite true. Most Jews traveling between Judea and Galilee would go the long way round to avoid Samaria. They'd cross the Jordan River and go up east, then back over. Why? Because the Jews and the Samaritans hated each other. There was a long history. The Samaritans were descended from Jews who had intermarried with foreigners centuries earlier when the Assyrians had conquered the northern kingdom. The Jews saw the Samaritans as compromisers and heretics. And the Samaritans had their own version of scripture. They had their own temple. There was a deep bitterness between these two groups. So when John says in the gospel that Jesus had to go through Samaria, he doesn't mean there was no other route. John means that Jesus had a divine appointment. There was someone he needed to meet. And I call every appointment, every chance meeting, it's not a chance. Every meeting we have with somebody, I believe, is a divine appointment. God puts folks in our life at that time. Verse 5 then says, so he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. So here Jesus is tired. He's been walking all day. It's hot. It's the middle of the day. And he sits down by the well, a really important well. That well has history. It's Jacob's well. Jacob, one of the fathers of Israel. So this is ancient sacred ground. And it's noon. Remember that, because it's really important. We'll come back to that in a wee minute. Then verse 7 says, when a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, will you give me a drink? This is already shocking, because firstly, Jesus is talking to a Samaritan. Remember, Jews did not associate with Samaritans. Secondly, he's talking to a woman. In that culture, a Jewish man would not have a conversation with a woman in public, especially alone. And thirdly, he's asking her for something that breaks all social rules. But here's what we need to notice. She's there at noon. Women usually come to get water in the morning or at evening when it was not as hot. They came in groups. It was a social time as well. But this woman is there at noon in the heat of the day. And you know, I have experienced the heat of the day in Israel. I was there 4 years ago. We were in the middle of the summer. It was absolutely roasting. In fact, the day we went to Jericho, Qumran and Masada, it's in the desert, it was over 40 degrees. It was so hot. Luckily, the air conditioners, good air conditioning. Our minibus had lots of good air conditioning. But you know, I was saying earlier, I like to sunbathe. So I was like, any chance I got, I was out trying to top up my tan. People thought I was crazy. They're on the bus trying to get cool, and I'm there 40 degrees trying to top my tan up. So, but this woman, she's avoiding other women. She doesn't want to see them. She doesn't want their judgment, their whispers, their stares, maybe their dirty looks or their snidey comments. So she comes at the hottest time in the day when no one else is there. This is a woman who feels so much shame. And Jesus knows exactly who she is. He knows what she's done, and he knows why she's there at noon. And he speaks to her. Verse 9 says, "The Samaritan woman said to him, 'You're a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?'" So she's surprised. This woman really, she can't believe that he's talking to her. And you know, it's the woman that highlights the social barriers between them. But Jesus doesn't care about that. Verse 10, Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." So here Jesus turns the conversation. He's now not asking her for water, but he's offering something to her. Verse 11 says, "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, and also his sons and his livestock?" So the woman here is thinking physically, but Jesus is talking about something much deeper. Then verses 13 and 14, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water, welling up to eternal life." Jesus is talking about spiritual satisfaction that goes way beyond our physical needs. You see, we all have thirst, don't we? We all have this deep part inside us for something more. The hole in our soul, as I always say, the hole in our soul that only Jesus can fill. You know, we try and satisfy it with all sorts of things, don't we? Stuff, relationships, success, money, pleasure, a new job, a new car, a new house, achievement, recognition, chocolate, sweets, cakes, probably mine. We all drink from the well after well, and you know what? It still leaves us thirsty. We know that. You know, and that's often what I use to share the gospel with people who I need to share it with, the unchurched and the folks who are well away from the things of God. It's a great message when I can say to them, tell me the time that you were desperate to get something and you got it and it left you satisfied for a very short time and you realised. I think it was Jim Carrey, the comedian, said, I think we saw it on one of Alpha Weeks, he wishes that everyone could find success, money and fame, all the success, money and fame that he has, to make them realise that it does not leave you happy. If anything, it cuts you off from the goodness. And you know, this woman's possibly been trying to satisfy her thirst through looking for love and acceptance, maybe for someone just to make her feel whole. But it wasn't working. She was still thirsty. And Jesus is saying, "I can give you water that will satisfy you forever." And the woman doesn't really understand, but she is interested. Verse 15 says, "The woman said to him, 'Sir, give me this water so I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming back here to draw water.'" She's still thinking practically. She's ashamed, and she's thinking, if you give me this, I'll not need to keep coming back here at the hot time, and a chance that people might not see me. But Jesus makes things very personal. Verse 16 says, he told her, go and call your husband and come back. And I wonder why he says this. Because he's about to say what's really going on in her life. You know, not to condemn her or to make her feel bad, definitely not, but to heal her. Verse 17 says, I have no husband, she replied. Jesus said to her, you're right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you've had five husbands, and the man you have now is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true. So Jesus knows everything about her life. Five husbands, and now she's living with a man that she's not married to. And this is why she's at the well alone at noon. This is the shame that this woman has been carrying. You know, that's so sad, isn't it? So sad. We don't know all the details. Maybe some of those husbands died. Maybe some divorced her. Maybe she'd just been treated really badly by men her whole entire life. We do not know. But what we do know is that she has been looking for love in all of the wrong places. She's been drinking from wells that always leave her more thirsty. And Jesus brings that into light. Like I said earlier, not to make her feel bad or contemn her or to judge her, but to speak truth into her life, but also with compassion. And her response in verse 19, Sir, the woman said, I can see that you're a prophet. She doesn't deny it or get defensive. She acknowledges that Jesus knows. And then she changes the subject. Verse 20 says, Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem. So she's asking here about worship, about the right place to worship, but I think she's deflecting as well. Jesus has just put his finger on her deepest shame, and she's trying to move the conversation to a different... We can all do that, can't we? Try and change a subject when we feel uncomfortable, or someone points out something we don't like, try and move it on very quickly. But you know, Jesus doesn't let her. Verses 21 to 24 says, it says, Woman, Jesus replied, Believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has come when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshippers must worship in spirit and in truth. This is massive. Jesus is saying that the question of where to worship is about to become irrelevant, because true worship isn't about a place. True worship is about spirit and truth. It's about worshipping God from the heart in the power of the Spirit, according to the truth of who he really is. And God is looking for worshippers like that, people who will worship him in spirit and in truth. And this woman here, standing at the well with all of her shame, all of her guilt, all of her brokenness, all of her sadness, can be that kind of worshipper. She doesn't need to clean herself up first. She just needs to worship in spirit and in truth. Then she says something really powerful in verse 25. The woman said, I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. So here she has hope. She's saying that someday the Messiah will come and sort out this mess. And then Jesus says something he doesn't normally say. Verse 26, then Jesus declared, I, the one speaking to you, I am he. Jesus here has shown his identity to this Samaritan woman, to this broken, ashamed, hurting, outcast woman at the well. And you know, this tells us something really important about Jesus, that he seeks out the broken and the outcast, the people who this world has written off. That's why I love doing the prison work. You know, I came to faith in 2008, and very quickly after I became a Christian, I was involved initially with Prison Fellowship, volunteering, going into Greenock Prison. Tremendous way to shape your faith as a brand new Christian, because you get all sorts of questions with guys in the jail, you know. But I loved it. Now, I just assumed that that's what everyone did, because I assumed that's where Jesus would have been. And it wasn't until I got further along the road when folks would say to me, that's tremendous. When I started working full time with people coming out of prison, and folks would say, that's tremendous work you do, you know. And then I realised, you know, it's not everyone's calling either, but I just assumed that that's where you would be, because that's where Jesus was, you know. He meets people in their shame. He always speaks truth, but also with compassion. And then the disciples come back. So verse 27, this is interesting. Just then his disciples returned, and they were surprised to find him talking to a woman. But no one asked, what do you want, or why are you talking to her? So they are surprised, because he's talking to a woman here, a Samaritan woman as well. But they don't see anything. They don't say anything. And then the woman leaves. Verse 28 says, then leaving her jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? So she leaves her water jar. She actually came to get water, but she's leaving her jar there because she recognizes that the water in that jar is not what she needs. And notice what she does. She goes back to the town, back to the people that she's been avoiding. The people who know all of her shame, all of her guilt, all of her circumstances, all of the things that she's done. And she goes there. And what does she do? She tells them about Jesus. So this woman's honest about her past. She's not hiding anything. She's not kidding on. But she's asking them to come and meet Jesus for themselves. Verse 30 says, they came out of the town and made their way toward him. So because of this woman's testimony, the people in that town then come to meet Jesus. The woman who was hiding in shame has now become an evangelist. I love that. This woman, shameful woman, had so much guilt and shame and felt so horrible about herself, has now become an evangelist. That is absolutely tremendous. We then read in verses 39 and 40, it says, many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed for 2 days. That's brilliant. He stays with them for 2 days in Samaria. But most Jews and Samaritans would never be together. They wouldn't even speak, let alone spending 2 days together. And verse 41 tells us, and because of his words, many more became believers. And listen to what they say in verse 42. They said to the woman, we no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world. That's powerful there, the Savior of the world. The Savior of the world for Samaritans, for outcasts, for people who carry shame and guilt, for people who the world have written off, for broken people with shameful pasts, for people who might have felt that they never really fitted in. For absolutely everyone. So what do we take from all of this? And what can we learn from this here on the third Sunday in Lent at Craighill Church? Firstly, Jesus breaks through barriers to meet us. He broke through the racial barrier. As we've heard, Jews did not associate with Samaritans. He broke through the gender barrier. Rabbis didn't speak to women in public. He broke through the religious barrier. Samaritans were considered heretics. And he broke through the moral barrier. This woman had a shameful past. That's 4 barriers: racial, gender, religious, and moral. And Jesus simply entered into the woman's world and he touched her heart. You know, getting into her world was probably the hard thing to do. It would have been so much easier just to label and accuse, but to actually listen and engage. But Jesus did that. You know, I think I've said a lot of times that when I first came to faith, somebody said to me, be very careful, Chris, who you share the gospel with. Because if that person responds, then you have to be willing to go and be in their life, get in the mess of their life, not the other way about. And like you've heard me saying loads, you know, we've created this model of church that says, look like us, act like us, sound like us, come in the same day of the week as us, just to be one of us. That is not what Jesus did. We have to be willing to go and get into people's lives. Yes, being part of a church family is so important. And I say that, we need each other. We need to be here. We need to grow together. We need to pray together. We need to share burdens so that we're part of something much bigger, and we know that. But we also have to be where people are. And sometimes actually become so risk averse that it can be quite hard to do that. It can be quite hard to do that, but we just have to be wise and when we're doing that as well. You know, but Jesus still does that today. Whatever barriers you think might exist between you and God, might be your past, might be your shame, might be your failures, insecurities, struggles, mistakes, Jesus breaks through them all. He enters your world, my world, and he touches our hearts. And Jesus also tells the truth, but he does it with compassion. You know, he didn't ignore this woman's sin, but he highlighted it. He said to her, you've had five husbands, and the man you're with now isn't your husband. He didn't say that to condemn her, but to heal her. You know, he tells her what her secrets are, but he done that so lovingly, and she left that situation completely changed. Jesus came to bring life, not to apply labels. And we can also learn that Jesus satisfies our thirst. This woman had been looking for satisfaction in relationships, maybe. She was drinking from all sorts of wells that definitely left her thirsty. And you know, we can do the same thing, definitely. We can look for satisfaction in career, money, romance, pleasure, social media likes, stuff, more stuff. And you know, none of it ever satisfies. Well, it might satisfy, actually it does, for a very short time, but then we are always left wanting more. But you know, Jesus is offering living water. He satisfies the deep longings of our hearts. And please remember that our past does not qualify us from serving him. In fact, it's the complete opposite. The woman had a shameful past. This woman, she was an outcast. But Jesus used her to bring an entire town to faith. The Bible is full of people with shameful pasts and dysfunctional families that God calls to do great things. We saw that. We did our When God Calls preaching series, and we spoke a lot about that through that. So our past does not disqualify us. Our mistakes definitely do not disqualify us. If we've met with Jesus, then we have something to share with others. Maybe this morning you're like this woman. You might have been looking for satisfaction and places that aren't satisfying you. You might be carrying some shame from your past, some guilt, some regret. If that's anyone here today, then please know this. Jesus knows your story. He knows my story. Intimately, he knows us. He knows everything that we have ever done, and he offers us living water. He still is doing that today. So as we continue this Lent journey together, let's remember that Jesus came for people like this woman. He came for the broken, for the outcast, for those maybe that feel they don't fit in. He came for those who are thirsty. He came for all people, people just like us. And he offers us living water, water that satisfies, water that springs up to eternal life, and water that transforms us, and forever we are changed. Amen. Let us again join our hearts together in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful story of the woman at the well. We thank you for showing us that Jesus goes after the broken and those with deep pain. Lord, we confess again that at times we can look for satisfaction in the wrong places, and we can often drink from wells that still leave us thirsty. So we ask that you forgive us. Lord, we thank you that you offer to us living water. And Lord, would you help us to be like this woman? Help us, would you help us to invite people to come and see for themselves? All this we pray in the loving and very precious name of Jesus. Amen.